here on New Road. It's pouring with rain, but it's also pouring with Andy Thomas, pouring creatively. I last met you in Edinburgh. You had a show there. What's the new one?
My new one is called Mal, That's What I Call Music. It's the second show by Des Capital, and I'm doing the history of communist China and the life of Mao Zedong to the music of Led Zeppelin, Drake, Robbie Williams, The Smiths, Adele, and a few others.
So we've had, you know, icons from the Soviet Union, we've had Mao Zedong this year. I mean, we're going to arrive at the Liberal Democrats at some point.
Oh, I think definitely there's no doubt about that. I think we need to rival everyone.
What would you say is your brand of comedy?
My brand of comedy at the moment is certainly parody. It's history-based, it's storytelling, with some cheekiness involved.
Okay, and so over the years that I've known you, has that changed? Because you said at the moment.
Well, I've always had written sketches and shows about history and comedy. My three big loves, comedy, history, music, trying to link them together as much as I can. But I always try and give something a different angle, a fresh angle, if I can.
Knowing that you're a history teacher as well, I mean, is your comedy, you know, the thing that's so appalling that you escape into history teaching, or is it the other way around?
I certainly a bit of both. I mean, the songs I use in my shows I use to help me with teaching, and I adapt them and create medleys and so forth to create more of an entertainment feel. But certainly these days I think that, you know, it's very hard to throw both feet into your day job and throw both feet into your evening job, as it were. So I've created a Venn diagram approach of trying to combine both.
And so, you might not want to answer this question, but what does it look like, this writing place of yours? Is it one place? Is it a desk with notebooks? Is it a laptop? Do you flee into cafes like I do?
No, I tend to really just either at work or when I'm at home, I tend to think of songs. I tend to think about what stories I'm trying to tell, you know, what message I'm trying to impart, and where I can best use that the medium of music and comedy to kind of make that message home and make people listen, I suppose.
What made you decide to arrive at modern history, really? I mean, is it that actually a lot of people don't get what's been going on in politics for the last 100 years, and comedy is a good way to actually educate as well as entertain?
Certainly, but also the stories are fantastic and they can't be forgotten, you know, the stories of empires rising and falling. And people like Mao and, you know, Lenin and people like that who start off when they're young being idealistic and want to improve the world. And certainly the world that they grew up in was one that needed to be improved. And then somehow when they're older, getting it so badly wrong and not being able to listen to advice, I find that fascinating, you know, the whole idea of hubris and how that works.
But also, present company excluded, and I mean you, I could probably split humanity down, you know, on one side is actually history was well taught at school and I'm still interested in it, and other people as my interest in history ended, you know, with deciding to fail GCSE history. It was just so badly taught, I was bored in history lessons. Yeah. And so people don't really get that world at all, and that world is theirs, it's their heritage.
Absolutely, it's their heritage, there's no doubt about it. I mean, we live in a world which is shaped today by the world of the past, and anything that people are interested in life, anything at all, anything cultural or historical or music or whatever it happens to be, it's got links to the past. So, you know, a good storyteller, a good historian, you know, a good proper historian, unlike me, will try to capture people's imagination and try to paint that picture which actually you can't revisit, and try to imagine what life was like and the circumstances and awful challenges that people lived under.
Making the assumption, and I will make this assumption, that you're a good history teacher. What is good history teaching?
I think good history teaching is where you're able to keep people engaged, keep people listening for an hour or 2 hours or whatever, and keep people really thinking about these stories and thinking about these personalities. I mean, different history teachers work in different ways. There are those that are very provocative and love debates, and there are those like me who just sort of love the stories and want to help. In particular, I love writing. I love good writing. I love a really good essay, you know, no matter the age of the person who's written it. So I'm really interested in helping people develop a very good history essay, because at the end of the day, a very good history essay is engaging and is a bit entertaining at whatever level. So that's, what I think, one of my motives.
And do your, I always say students or pupils, I'll say both, do they think you're a bit freaky and weird, or do they think you're really cool? And do some of them come and see your shows?
Well, I think, yeah, some come and see my shows. I mean, it divides opinion, really. I mean, those might think it's a bit freaky and a bit weird. But I think, you know, when you're at school and you're tired and, you know, you've got that pressure of exams, and the pressure today to do well in exams for young people is bigger than ever before. I think that if you've got some levity, if you've got some humour and some irony there and some creativity, I think that that can make all the difference.
Yeah. And in terms of this particular show then, obviously you've mentioned music, so I'm assuming there's music in it. How have you used music in this show?
Well, what I do is I parody songs by Led Zeppelin. I've got The Mandate of Heaven, Robbie Williams, I'm Reading Engels Instead, Adele, Hellish, which is about the Great Famine. And I try to keep to the original lyrics as much as I can and just tweak them here and there in order to tell a story which is more, well, it's more graphic and it's more gory. And I like it when that contrasts with the poppy nature and, you know, and the poppy beats of the song. Then that contrast is, you know, hopefully gets people's attention.
Now, as we speak, as I say, although it is actually a Saturday, there are Chinese tourists, you know, going around the Royal Pavilion. There are lots of Chinese students learning at the universities here. Would you like them to come? And what do you think they'd make of it?
Absolutely. I've spoken to a few Chinese people that I've seen promoting the show, and they're interested because they think, oh, well, it's from a Western perspective. But then I'm also able to talk to them about what China's like today. And, you know, China is shaped very much by the period of Mao Zedong. There's no doubt about it. He still encapsulates the country. He's the DNA of the country. But these days, China has gone in a very different direction. And so I hope that people, if they saw my show, would think, well, how come China was like that then, so ideological? Why is it so capitalist now? And hopefully understand the links between the two times. And I think that Chinese people are interested in that as well.
Yeah. Now, as I've seen your work over the years, I remember quite a few years back, it was about Andy Thomas. And it was Andy Thomas playing Andy Thomas. As you've got older, you seem to like dressing up more and, you know, dyeing your beard and wearing wigs. Is that right?
Yeah, I always liked dressing up, though. When I did other shows in the past, you know, I love putting on a good costume and presenting a different version of myself. It's still me, it's still Andy Thomas, but Des Capital has got a different mission, you know, and he's trying to tell a historical story, I think.
Okay. You get a panto offer, who do you most want to play?
If I got a panto offer, I don't know, perhaps a Widow Twanky. I've been in a pantomime before and I've enjoyed that. I like original pantomimes though, ones with an edge, rather than the traditional ones, I think.
Okay, Baron Hardup or Cinderella?
Probably Baron Hardup, yeah.
Traditional musicals and stuff, you know, you get the lead role, which one?
In a traditional musical? Yeah. Oh, gosh, well, you know, I'd love to play the Phantom in Phantom of the Opera. I mean, why not? What an incredible role.
Really, I had you down for Willy Wonka, but, you know, you can't always win.
Oh, yeah, Willy Wonka. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Well, who knows? If somebody spots me, I might get that opportunity one day.
Finally, what's your invitation for people to come and see Mao? That's what I call music.
Because it's 1 hour of absolutely relentless pop rock history. It's unabating, it's unabashful, it's there. The grim stuff, the funny stuff. I tell it how it is, I don't have a particular opinion, and I hope that people can make their own mind up when they're there.
Andy Thomas, thanks for talking to Fringe Review.
Thanks, Paul.